RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. As usual, we'll bring you news followed by commentary. Today in history, Voi Green headlines and Newstin brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesia Today and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And we'll conclude today's English Bulletin with Music Corner. That's all for today, listener. Stay tuned at www.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. President attends military combat training in South Sumatra, but high-ranking police officer signed up to be KPK chief. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo demanded combat training should not be used only to show out force, but also to show to people that soldiers together with people are able to be a national force that ensure the light of the Indonesian nation. Although the country is not currently under the threat of war, President said various regular trainings are necessary so that Indonesian people are always ready to defend every inch of the territory of Indonesia. While attending the Army Combat Demo held a combat training center in Martapura, Batu Raja, South Sumatra on Tuesday. President asserted that every soldier has the duty to protect people and the country of Indonesia in all aspects of life without exception in order to make welfare of the nation. As reported on page of Cabinet Secretary, President Joko Widodo admitted in order to strengthen the defense posture of the army, the main weapon resistance has to be modernized. Spokesperson of the Selection Committee of Corruption Eradication Commission KPK leaders Bekti Ali Shabana said quite high-ranking police officers have signed up for KPK chief, but it is reluctant to reveal their names. Bekti told Tempo on Tuesday only one name mentioned by the National Police. He is Mr. Yoje. Inspector General Yoje Mende is a former regional police chief of Papua. Four other high-ranking officers in the list was not mentioned by the National Police. Previously, the National Police submitted three names as candidates of KPK chief. They are Inspector General Yoje Mende, Inspector General Sahrul Mama, and Inspector General Retired Benny Mamuto. Police Headquarters Public Relations Division Chief Inspector General Anton Charlians claimed that the three candidates are general with good track records. Yoje is a graduate from the class of 1981. Benny served as a Deputy Chief Eradication of National Narcotics Agency before retiring. He graduated from the class of 1977. Meanwhile, Sahrul is one of the deputies in the Law and Human Rights Ministry. All three are experts in detective. After receiving reports from 36 monitoring spots that no one saw the new moon, the ISBAT meeting conducted by the Minister of Religions on Tuesday night decided that Islamic fasting month Ramadan will start on Thursday, June 18, 2015. The Minister of Religious Affairs, Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, after the meeting, explained that 36 observers assigned by the Minister of Religious Affairs and spread from West to East Indonesia reported that they did not see new moon.
Atas dasar itulah, maka kemudian seluruh peserta sidang ISBAT.
On the basis that all participants of the ISBAT meeting agreed that the new moon was invisible, then the moon of Syaban is now ensured to be 30 days. Thus, the month of Ramadan will fall on Thursday, June 18, 2015. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim, accompanied by Chairman of Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, Kiai Haji Dim Shamsuddin and Director General of Islamic Community Guidance, Makassian Hoops. With the result of the Isbat meeting, all Muslims in Indonesia will start the fasting month of Ramadan together. Minister Luqman Hakim also hopes that the decision of Isbat meeting on the beginning of Ramadan, that is similar with the decision of central leadership of Muhammadiyah, could reflect unity of Indonesian Muslims from time to time. Indonesian Military Training Chief General Muldoko recommended the former commander of the military police, retired Major General Hendarji Supanji, as candidate of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK leader. General Muldoko attended Quartus Cilangkap in Jakarta on Tuesday said Hendarji is a high-ranking military figure who has a good track record and integrity. His background as commander of military police make retired general out strong legal knowledge.
Yang pertama, Pak Hendarji pernah jadi dan Puspom, punya basic hukum, pernah menangani kasus besar dalam konteks konek.
First, Hendarji was commander of the military police. He has low knowledge. He had handled big cases in the context of relations between the military and civilian. Hendarji has also excellent and high integrity, discipline, and responsibility. General Muldoko added, Hendarji has also managed to bridge between civilian and military in a bid dispute case during his tenure as commander of the military police. Meanwhile, spokesperson of the Selection Committee of Corruption Eradication Commission KPK leaders, Betty Alicia Banang, said the selection committee opened registration in 10 cities in Indonesia. According to Betty, starting on Tuesday, June 16, the registration has been opened. Betty Alisabana added there are 10 cities that will be visited by the selection committee, including Makassar, Padang, Yogyakarta, Medan, Balikpapan, Semarang, Pontianak, Bandung, and Malang. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Director Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEP, Annie Srihartati, predicts that oil and gas imports will return to climb in order to meet fuel needs during Eid al-Fitri. And he told Tempo on Tuesday, June 16, that huge possibility that oil and gas imports will rise again in anticipation of Eid al-Fitri. The Central Bureau of Statistics has unveiled the result of Indonesian trade balance for April 2015 period. Import activity reached $11.6 billion, down by 21.4% compared to last year. Meanwhile, Indonesian export value reached $12.56 billion. The amount is down by 4.11% compared to the previous month. Throughout Southeast Asian countries, Eni said export activity experienced a slump. The condition, according to Eni, is a warning to Indonesia during the free trade of ASEAN Economic Community in 2015. She predicts the global economy still experiencing a slowdown in the next 1 or 2 years. And it suggests diversification export commodities with the products from small and medium businesses. However, this step requires the government support. President Joko Widodo should hopefully strengthen the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK during the revision of Law No. 30-2002 on the anti-graft body, which has been included in the 2015 National Legislation Program or PROLEGNAS. It was stated by KPK Acting Deputy Chairman Johan Budi, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday. Johan Budi said his certain President Joko Widodo will not do irreparable damage on his commitment to strengthening the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. During a meeting with the House of Representatives Legislative Body, Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lauli Hamonangan confirmed that the revision of the 2002 KPK law had been included in the 2015 National Legislation Program as a House initiative. Among the articles to be revised is the one that stipulates the Corruption Eradication Commission wiretapping authority in a bid to prevent human rights violations during anti-corruption investigations. In the revised law, wiretapping will be directed only against parties whose legal examination has been processed. There would be also reviews of the KPK prosecutorial authority, which will be synergized with the Attorney General Office authority. The last item, Indonesian relations with Malaysia reheated after worship from the neighboring country was known to re-enter Indonesian waters. It must be taken seriously by the government. International relations observers of Pajajaran University, Tuku Resasha, said Indonesia must first agree with one voice to conclude Malaysia's action. government legislator and the military should not make opposing statements. By doing so, they could set the position of Indonesian's diplomacy could be strengthened. Teuku Rezesa, when contacted on Tuesday, said Indonesia was required to have strong evidence related to border violation indications by Malaysian military. The evidence could be obtained from satellite imaginary photo with the incident occurred. Teuku pointed out that way was used by Japan to demonstrate to the international about boundary violations committed by Chinese ships to make China reluctant to proceed further. Previously, the TNA Commander General Muldoko said Malaysia had violated maritime boundary agreement between Indonesia and Malaysia in the territory of North Borneo, especially on Balat. The tension between the two countries were acute for the umpteenth time. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled North Korea and South Korea Show Off Missile Power. Listener, it seems that competition between North Korea and South Korea in defense field has never ended. Both countries are busy strengthening their defenses with a variety of war machines, including long-range missiles. Some time ago, North Korea shocked the international community after claiming it has successfully tested a new ballistic missile which can be fired from a submarine. However, a number of experts in the U.S. believe that the photo published on it had been manipulated. According to them, North Korea still takes a very long time to be able to develop such sophisticated military technology. The conclusion was submitted by Admiral James Winfield in an event at the U.S. Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, in Washington, D.C. some time ago. Meanwhile, analysis made by German space technology experts Markus Schiller and Robert Smucker of Smucker Technology seemed to support the statement of Admiral Winfield. Both experts said the photo showing Kim Jong-un witnessing the launch of a ballistic missile submarine has completely been modified. When observed carefully, the shadow of the rocket's fire is not in the same direction as the flight direction of the missile. However, the analysis of the U.S. experts and military actually is not supported by the U.S. ally, namely South Korea, which remains convinced that the image is not cropped. For this reason, as if it doesn't want to be outdone in the weapon power, South Korea on Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2015, tested a new ballistic missile that is claimed to be capable of hitting all the targets in North Korea. South Korea's presidential office said that ballistic missiles developed under a new agreement with the U.S. have made Seoul capable of increasing its range to 800 kilometers. President Park Geun-hye made a rare visit to a missile base on the west coast of the country to witness the test. South Korean ballistic weaponry was developed under a new agreement with the U.S. in 2012, aiming to double the cruising range of South Korea's missile to counterbalance North Korea's arsenal. On the other hand, having felt that the international community doubted the ballistic missile test, North Korea on Sunday once again tested new anti-warship rockets, which are able to hit targets as far as 120 kilometers. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un reportedly witnessed the rocket test coded KN-01 in nearby Busan on Sunday, June 14, 2015. North Korean news agency KCNA reported in the trial the North Korean rockets precisely detected and hit specified targets. However, KCNA did not mention the location of the trial and the specifications of the rocket. What has been done by North and South Korean governments is a form of show of force, so as not to appear weak in the eyes of its neighbors. What has been done by North and South Korean governments is a form of show of force so as not to appear weak in the eyes of its neighbors. However, it is unfortunate because the missile test was conducted in the midst of efforts to unite the two Koreas. Although until now it seems to be only a dream, seeing the reunion of separate families recently, the desire to be united is quite evident. And listener, that was commentary. Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with the events that occurred on June 17, 1925, a treaty banning the use of germ and chemical weapons to be signed in Geneva, Switzerland. Based on the agreement, chemical weapons, gases, germs, and the like were officially banned. At the first stage, there were only about 25 countries that signed the agreement. However, with time, the number of countries has increased. This agreement was made to prevent a recurrence of the humanitarian tragedy due to the use of weapons of mass destruction by Germany in World War I. Although there has been an agreement, a number of countries have neglected it. The United States continued to use chemical weapons in the Vietnam War and the Iraqi Ba'ath regime in the war against Iran. On June 17, 1940, France surrendered to Germany. French leader Marshal Henri Pellin declared the surrender when Germany forces controlled the capital city of Paris. Germany dominating Europe under the Nazi forces at the beginning of the World War II, in addition to the surrender, Pétain also stated he was willing to cooperate with Germany under the rule of Adolf Hitler's Nazi party. Pétain's attitude was expressed in the signing of the agreement with Germany. In the agreement, Pétain was willing to give more than half of the French territory in the occupation of Germany. In return, Pétain still served as the leader of France government centered in Vichy. Under the leadership of Pétain and his successor, Pierre Laval, the French government in Vichy during the World War II under German occupation helped to arrest ethnic Jews and members of resistance groups and send them to concentration camps. When Allied forces invaded Normandy in June 1944, Pétain and Laval fled to the French Eastern Territory that was still occupied by Germany. They were finally caught by the Allies. They were found guilty of treason and sentenced to death. Laval was executed in 1945, but Pétain received a pardon from the new French leader, Charles de Gaulle, so he was just sentenced to life imprisonment. Pétain died in 1951. We'll end with the events of Icelandic independence on June 17, 1944. On June 17, 1944, the people of Iceland gained full independence from Denmark. From that moment, on June 17, is celebrated as the National Day by the people of Iceland. Since the 10th century, Iceland became part of Norway before finally it was controlled by Denmark. In 1918, the status of Iceland was under the rule of Denmark. Finally, through a referendum, Iceland separated from Denmark and became a fully independent state with a republican government system. In 1949, the country participated in the formation of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. That was Today in History. See you and sampai jumpa.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Voi Green. Today's edition entitled Conservation Area in Indonesia Should Have Accurate Boundary. All conservation areas in Indonesia should have a certain boundaries. It was intended to ensure legal clarity for the public. So, if there is a violation of marine, then a conservation area can show their impact based on the existing boundaries. M. Saifuddin, of the Conservation Area and Type of Fish, Marine and Fisheries Affairs Ministry, quoted by Equatorial.com, saying, "The arrangement of boundary on marine protected areas and small islands are important to be implemented, so that a conservation area is recognized and has boundary in accordance with coordinate point of waters conducted by the Oceanographic Office under the Indonesian Navy. Then it is registered and listed in marine navigation maps." This was conveyed by Saifuddin on the sidelines of the Workshop of Management Effectiveness Assessment of Water Conservation in the Bird's Head Seascape in Sorong. Saifuddin added, "Based on the coordinates of the conservation boundary listed in the navigation map, we'll provide accurate information to the ships on the location of conservation areas in certain waters. In addition, the boundaries have legal forces and could become legal evidence if violations occur in the waters of marine conservation areas. Moreover, conservation areas and small islands in Indonesia, which own boundaries, are Batang, Sabang, and Nusa Penida. This area will be registered gradually. Meanwhile, the Bird's Head Seascape Conservation Area in West Papua has no boundaries yet. Bird's Head Seascape is identified as an area that has a high marine biodiversity as well as a priority of the development of marine conservation area in Indonesia and also in the world. Marine conservation area in Indonesia could be variety in shapes related to the administrators. For example, administrator of Cendrawasih Bay National Park currently is the National Park Authority under the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Meanwhile, the National Water Conservation Area of Raja Ampat, its management is performed by the Working Unit under the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries. Network of Raja Ampat Small Island Park is managed by the Technical Implementation Unit under the Department of Marine and Fisheries Agency of Raja Ampat. Examples of networks or underwater conservation in Bird's Head Seascape is in the Kalimana and Tambrau Regencies. That was Voi Green.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo reminded combat training should not be used only to show of force, but also to show to people that soldiers together with people are able to be a national force that ensure the life of Indonesian nation. After receiving reports from 36 monitoring spots that no one saw the new moon, the Isbat meeting conducted by the Minister of Religions on Tuesday night decided that the Islamic fasting Ramadan will start on Thursday, June 18, 2015. Indonesia Military Tenet Chief General Muldoko recommended the former Commander of Military Police Major General Hendarji Supanji as candidate of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK leader. Jerome Bulldog at TNA Quarters, Cilangkap East, Jakarta on Tuesday said Hendarji is a high-ranking military figure who has a good track record and integrity. Director Institute for Development of Economic and Finance INDEP, Annie Srihartati, predicts that oil and gas import will return to climb in order to meet fuel needs during Eid al-Fitri. Annie told Tempo on Tuesday, June 16, that huge possibility that oil and gas import will rise again in anticipation of Eid al-Fitri. President Joko Widodo should hopefully strengthen the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK during the revision of Law No. 32-2002 on the anti-graft body, which has been included in the 2015 National Legislation Program or Prolegnas. This was stated by KPK Acting Deputy Chairman Johan Budi as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian relations with Malaysia reheated after worship from the neighboring country was known to re-enter Indonesian waters. It must be taken seriously by the government. International Relations Observers of Pajajaran University Kuresesa said Indonesia must first agree with one voice to conclude Malaysia's action. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com. Before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to visit North Korea to know its special food made of snail meat called Sate Kolombi. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, satay or satay is food made from slices of meat which are stabbed by using sticks. These slices of meat are grilled on fire. This satay is served with various seasonings. In Indonesia, there are various kinds of satay with various raw materials. There is rabbit satay, chicken satay, lamb satay, and beef satay. Even there is satay which is made from snail meat as raw material. In North Sulawesi province, this kind of satay is called Kolombi satay. Listener, Kolombi is paddy field snails with big size, chewy and very suitable for making satay. To cook Kolombi satay has long process. The snail meat is previously separated from the shell. After that, the meat is boiled and cleaned. After that, the snail's teeth are removed. Then, the meat is washed again. After that, the meat is given ingredients such as lemon juice and salt. Then, it is soaked for several hours. The meat is boiled again so that the meat becomes tender. It is ready to be grilled. When cooked, Kolombi satay is served with seasoning or hot condiment. Hot spice is combined with chewy Kolombi meat, make this satay becomes favorite by many people, not only local people but also tourists who visit North Sulawesi province. Besides delicious, snail meat which has high protein is believed to be able to make the bones strong. If you are interested in tasting this Kolombi satay, you can enjoy it in various regions in North Sulawesi, especially at Tondano Boulevard, Minahasa Regency, North Sulawesi. The access to this place is also easy because it is located in the capital city of Minahasa Regency. From Manado, the capital city of North Sulawesi province, it is around 45 kilometers and takes 1.5 hours by using cars. Listener, visiting Tondano Boulevard culinary area, you can spoil your tongue as well as your eyes. This area is located on flat land and surrounded by circle-shaped hills. Mount Klabat, Lokon, and Tampusu can be seen clearly. Located at the fields area, there are dozens of stalls along the road like an alley. The stalls mostly sell Kolombi satay. This location is near Tondano Lake. At this culinary area, there is also a fresh fish menu. One of the fresh culinary which is always haunted by buyers is payangka. Payangka is typical fish of Tondano Lake, which is not far from Tondano Boulevard. This fish can only be found in Tondano Lake. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Ani Hasana, in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Belajar Bersama, or in English means studying together. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, first we will introduce you to several vocabulary and also expressions that relate to our topic today. I will read them 2 times and you can repeat after me. Belajar bersama. Belajar bersama, which means studying together. Sedang apa? Sedang apa? Which means what are you doing? Belajar. Belajar, which means to study. Sejarah. Sejarah, which means history. Perpustakaan. Perpustakaan, which means library. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Ulangan. Ulangan, which means test. Geografi. Geografi, which means geography. Mempelajari. Mempelajari, which means to learn. Masa lampau. Masa lampau, which means past time. Pahlawan. Pahlawan, which means hero. Mengenal. Mengenal, which means to know. Dunia. Dunia, which means the world. Letak. Letak, which means location. Negara. Negara, which means country. Penduduk. Penduduk, which means population. Mulai belajar. Mulai belajar, which means start studying. Well, listener, now let's follow an example of a conversation between Andy or A and Danu or B. I will say the sentence 2 times and you can repeat after me. A. Danu, kamu sedang apa? Danu, kamu sedang apa? Which means, Danu, what are you doing? B. Aku sedang belajar sejarah Indonesia. Aku sedang belajar sejarah Indonesia, which means I'm studying Indonesian history. A. Mari kita belajar bersama di perpustakaan. Mari kita belajar bersama di perpustakaan, which means let's study together at the library. B. Baiklah, besok aku ulangan sejarah. Baiklah, besok aku ulangan sejarah, which means alright, I have a history test tomorrow. A. Aku suka sejarah dan geografi. Aku suka sejarah dan geografi, which means I like history and geography. B. Aku juga suka pelajaran sejarah. Aku juga suka pelajaran sejarah, which means so do I. Karena mempelajari peristiwa masa lampau dan pahlawan. Karena mempelajari peristiwa masa lampau dan pahlawan, which means because history studies about past time and heroes. A. Mari kita belajar. Mari kita belajar, which means let's study. Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We'll meet again with Music Corner, a segment that introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to 3 music groups, namely T-Cash Band, Devon Band, and G2 Band. First, we'll take you to know the T-Cash Band. Yogyakarta is not only known as the student city, but also the city of art. Many talented musicians were born in Yogyakarta, such as Sheila on 7, Shaggy Dog, and 17. The success of the musicians has influenced new singers who will enliven the music industry in Indonesia. T-Cash Band has 5 young musicians: Andrew the keyboardist, Noval the guitarist, Buyung the drummer, Alex the vocalist, and Bimo the bassist. The group presents a pop genre music combined with pop, jazz, and rock. Through an album entitled Di Ujung Nirwana, T-Cash tries to invoke another color of music. They also present a simple music arrangement which is interesting and enjoyable. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song Di Ujung Nirwana by T-Cash.
Thank you. hadir dalam mimpi saat ku rapuh.
That was The Cash Band with their song Di Ujung Nirwana. Now let's take a look to Devon Band. Listeners, beginning from the friendship of three young men from Bandung, namely Felix the drummer, Aya the vocalist and guitarist, as well as Billy the bassist, this group is called the Devon Band. The name was taken from the town in England. According to Felix, they were inspired by the city that has brought to the world talented musicians such as Muse. The Devon Band was formed on March 1, 2010. They are optimistic in compete with other new bands. By dedicating a single, Aku Tak Mau Sendiri, that was inspired from the life story of the vocalist, Devon hoped the song would be accepted by music lovers in Indonesia. The song Aku Tak Mau Sendiri tells about someone who do not want to be alone. Well, listeners, here is the song Aku Tak Mau Sendiri.
Jangan petik bunga yang sudah layu, bunganya merapu. Jangan sedih, kau tetap di pelukku, menghangatkan kalbu. Jangan sedih bila ku satu saat nanti raga ini akan pergi. Jangan sedih bila terbangun di mimpimu mengejutkan dalam hati. Aku tak mau sendiri, aku ingin ditemani. Jaga. Jangan bilang lagi kau akan pergi, ku ingin bersama. Jangan takut bila aku kan pergi lagi, kini atau lain hari. Jangan takut, aku akan terus menjaga cintamu di dalam hati.
Sampai mati. seperti bunga yang sudah layu, bunganya merapu.
Just listen to the song Aku Tak Mau Sendiri from Devon Band. Well, listeners, there are so many bands that are getting more attention in Indonesia, like G2 Band, which consists of Opan, the vocalist, Ben, guitarist, Ndong, the guitarist, and Helmi, the drummer. During 2 years of G2 Band's career, they have had ups and downs. Initially, they had budget problems in the process of recording. Now they have released the first album, entitled Kisah Cinta. And before we conclude this segment of Music Corner, we'll play the song Kisah Cinta by G2 Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Aku gak pernah tahu apa yang ada di dalam hatimu, tapi aku gak mau bila kau benci pada diriku. Mungkin lewat lagu ini aku ungkapkan isi hatiku. Semoga dirimu sadar betapa besar cintaku padamu. Kasih, sungguh dirimu tak mengerti mengapa kau tinggalkan diriku. Pasti bersama untuk menjalani kisah cinta kita, oh. Dan takkan pernah kita dapat berpisah untuk selamanya, untuk selamanya. Bersama untuk menjalani kisah cinta kita, oh. Dan takkan pernah kita dapat berpisah untuk selamanya, untuk selamanya. Suatu hari kita pasti bersama untuk menjalani kisah cinta kita, oh. Dan takkan pernah kita dapat berpisah untuk selamanya, untuk selama-lamanya. Untuk selama-lamanya. Untuk selama-lamanya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sedalam samudra tak aku selami, setinggi langit di angkasa telah ku arungi. Sepanjang kehidupanku aku mencari sebentuk kelembutan hati cinta sejati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.